We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi, Semper Friday, how are you? Welcome into another edition of Sports Talk. Glad to be hanging out with you here till 6:30 tonight. Pumped to be with you. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, stops by at 420. Talk a little LSU baseball with Ronnie Rance, former LSU pitcher, CEO of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, sports_shorts on Twitter. LSU baseball helping themselves last night, 7-1 victory over Auburn. They smashed three home runs. Did you see the bomb that Saul Garza hit? 434 feet. That ball was melted out of the stadium, out of the box. 7-1 victory. LSU takes game one of the series against Auburn. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. They got 16 wins in the conference now. They get to 18, get two in Hoover next week at the SEC tournament, making a strong case to get a regional host site. Maybe LSU started to put their act together a little bit. Antoine DePlantis hit his 11th home run of the year. Three home runs in all for the LSU Tigers. Coming up at 5:20, Brian Scalabrini will join us. He's the Radio.com Sports Insider, Sirius XM NBA host. And really, I want to talk to you guys about the possibility, if you are David Griffin, president of basketball operations for the New Orleans Pelicans, do you even risk the idea of playing Anthony Davis through the final year of his contract? Taking a year to potentially win him over and convince him to stick around, perhaps in the middle of the season before the trade deadline, he might be willing to sign a long-term contract again because he's got Zion by his side? Or do you trade him now and just say, you know what? I want to get something in return for him. And I know a lot of this is contingent upon if AD tells David Griffin, yeah, I'm willing to stay, or I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to give you guys an opportunity to convince me and show me that this organization is headed in the right direction. Or he could simply say, no, look, I've seen enough, I want out. What do you do if you're David Griffin? Do you try to convince AD, hey, stay with us until at least the trade deadline next year? Or do you get the assets right now in this draft to get maybe the third overall pick from the New York Knicks to jumpstart your rebuild and just move on from Anthony Davis? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Pixie in New Orleans wants to talk about a topic we were talking about yesterday, but go ahead, Pixie, you're on WWL.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about it today. Got my days confused.
That's all right.
I'm not going to say the names of the schools, but a couple weeks ago in state baseball playoffs, I witnessed parents as well as kids taunting the center fielder for the other team and using the N-word, saying they're going to take him home and cut him up. You can't legislate morality, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, if that kind of stuff's going on, then those fans need to be run out and banned from the ballpark. And I'm sure if somebody leveled a complaint to the administrator of the school, the athletic director, or to the LHSAA, they would have done something about it, or they should have done something about it. So,
if the coach asks who's the administrator on duty, guess who the administrator on duty was?
The coach, the opposing coach?
The head coach.
Yeah. Well, it's still incumbent upon him to make sure that there is a somewhat of a friendly environment, at least a peaceful environment, one in which you're not having racial slurs hurled at your players or their players.
It's amazing. It was amazing. Hadn't seen anything like it in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
but you can't legislate morality again.
No, you can't. Right. I mean, that's up again. Like I said yesterday, and I don't want to keep rehashing this, but that's on the administrators and the schools to police that stuff along with the parents and, the parents of those kids as well, to teach them better, raise them better. We don't do that. We don't behave that way at sporting events, whether high school, college, or pro. All right, we'll step away and come back. We've got the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on board momentarily. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Saul Garza, 3-for-4 last night in a 7-1 victory for the Tigers over Auburn. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Looking at NFL.com, they've listed 9 complete teams in the NFL. It's not a power ranking. It's not a playoff prediction. The Saints are in that number, along with, in no particular order, the Cleveland Browns, Los Angeles Rams, Los Angeles Chargers, Colts, Kansas City Chiefs, the Dallas Cowboys, much to Bobby Hebert's chagrin, the Saints, the Bears, and the New England Patriots. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, joining us now. And Bobby, what do you think about the Dallas Cowboys being on that list of complete teams?
Well, the Cowgirls are good. The Cowgirls are going to be in the hunt. That doesn't mean they're going to win anything. But Christian, here I am in Budapest, Hungary. and I've been away from you, but, man, what? Are you kidding me? We won the lottery and got Anthony Davis?
You mean Zion?
Zion. I mean, we had Anthony Davis and we got Zion. But I'm saying we should keep Anthony Davis. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm kind of out of the loop. But the one thing I could tell you is that the odds of that occurring, to hit the lottery twice, I mean, it's unbelievable. So all of a sudden, I know a number of fans are excited about Pelicans basketball, but So what is the vibe? Is it like, okay,
on fire, man?
Why don't we team up Zion with Anthony Davis or what? So what is it like? Okay, AD's burned two bridges. So what does everyone say?
Nah, by and large, I mean, we've asked both of those questions, and you get mixed response to either one of them. I mean, I think some Pelicans fans want to see AD teamed up with Zion, and is that enough to convince AD to return? You know, you can mend those fences. You didn't burn the bridges down completely, so maybe David Griffin can talk AD into playing one more year with Zion, and that comes a risk now, because if you let him play one more year and he doesn't want to come back, then you get nothing in return for him. But there's also there was a little trepidation right after the Pelicans won the lottery, Bobby, that maybe Zion was going to go back to Duke and that didn't play out, or there was some on the national scene trying to convince Zion to tell the Pelicans, don't draft me, I'm gonna pull my name out of the draft, I don't want to go to New Orleans. The same ones that complain about the super teams that are assembled were the same ones that were screaming that Zion was coming to New Orleans potentially.
Well, the only thing is not a guarantee. Listen. Are you convinced that Zion, considering, because the Zion train is coming, we in control of that. You know that Bob Marley song, the Zion train is coming our way. Yes, it is coming. It is coming our way. But I still say that, and you gotta play the percentages, but we were all saying the same thing when we got Anthony Davis. Weren't we all saying, oh, look, AD's coming to town. I remember Deke Bellavia going crazy when all of a sudden we had Anthony Davis coming. Now, did we take advantage of that? No. You could say coaching and the right management, the right combination of players. So I would like to take the opportunity. That'd be almost blasphemy. If you have, considering where Anthony Davis and you've perceived that one time maybe to overtake, kind of like the Greek freak to overtake LeBron James, to team him up with Zion. I mean, and you got Drew Holiday. I mean, I don't know how the team could not be in contention to represent the West, to go to the NBA championship. But it's no guarantee without AD that Zion's going to be some kind of savior. How can he be more of a savior than Anthony Davis was? Think about that. When AD came to town, I remember the hype and everything. Oh, we're going to win championships now. Here we go. And all of a sudden, it occur, and I'm not saying it couldn't happen with Zion, but I just look at the more great players, the better to have an opportunity to win a championship. Now they got to come together as a team, but that's why I still take the approach that that's when you got to trust the general manager, that can he make it work to maybe convince AD to come? Because, listen, the fans could be all ticked off at AD. Think about this. They can be all mad. He's burned too many bridges. What? All you got to do is win. Mm-hmm. Then you rebuild those bridges really fast. And all of a sudden, if you're winning, which you did last year, that's like old news. Although that was last year. So the bottom line
is, he can chalk that up to being frustrated. Hey, I was frustrated. You know, it was a previous regime. Now I trust David Griffin. He and I are in lockstep. I mean, that's easy to repair.
Yeah, the bottom line is you just have to win. I don't care where you at, what combination of players you have. You got to give the fans hope. You give the fans hope that they realistically can turn things around. But look at Portland. Last year, we swept the Portland Trailblazers. Look where they're at right now. Now, I don't think they can overtake the Golden State Warriors, but you look at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, everyone talks about the Greek Freak, but look at the whole team concept. Look at the players that they have on that team. So even though you have great players, they got to come together. But I would like to take out chances with Anthony Davis, and you look at Zion and like a Drew Holiday. I mean, those are all stars. I mean, Zion got to do it on the NBA level to be an all-star. When you're on face value, that's an all-star team. Can they come together? And Christian, what was the rumor right quick about Ms. Gale?
Yeah, that's been shot down. About. So an ESPN reporter said that Mrs. Benson sending Anthony Davis to the Lakers was over her dead body. Well, that's been refuted by Seth Dunlap, who says that Gale Benson refutes those reports. Pelicans blocking an AD trade to the Lakers. It's all online at WWL.com.
We don't want the Lakers garbage. Like, what is she like hell no or something?
No. She's saying she's not going to override David Griffin in any way. If David Griffin feels like the best trade is with the Lakers, if they come with a strong enough offer, then she'd be fine with it.
Well, she's doing – that's the right ownership. You have to trust who you hire and put your faith in them. Ms. Gale's doing the right thing if that's her approach. But as far as just to make the Lakers happy, hell with the Lakers. We ain't worried about the Lakers. I mean, are you convinced that the Lakers players are a number of players to AD? No. I'd rather take my chance what AD is a superstar versus what the Lakers have to offer.
Bobby, what's the best thing you've seen in Budapest? And what time is it over there right now?
Right now it's 11:30 at night. you know where I just was? Christian, I was just on the Buda side. You know, you cross the Danube River, and it's flat on the Pesh side. You know, it looks like Pesh, but it's Pesh. And I was on the Buda side. I was with the ambassador hanging out, and we have an hors d'oeuvres. I'm talking with all these big wigs that can speak about six or seven languages. I'm trying to speak one language. And we all hanging out, and he was the ambassador to Hungary and the United States under President Obama.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just wheeling and dealing. And you know what? Three guys came up to me that's part of the embassy and diplomats, and they love the NFL. So, Christian, we need to work with Ms. Gale and the NFL. You know how we have games in London and Mexico City? Mm-hmm. They have an unbelievable stadium that holds like 70,000. You know how we're trying to expand the NFL? They want a game in Budapest.
All right.
They want an NFL exhibition game. So I said, yeah, we're going to see what we can do. So here I am, like, trying to work it and BS and saying, yeah, man, we're going to get an NFL game. Oh, we love American football. We're going to get it going. So I said, well, that's a project I can work on. And I got to talk to, the Saints organization. And they guarantee me that they would have 70,000 people at the game because they love watching the NFL on TV.
I'm all for it. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, enjoy the rest of your weekend and the rest of your vacation, all right?
All right, kid. I'll talk to you, man.
All right, coming back for Patrick Uptown. You two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. If you were the Pelicans, would you force Anthony Davis to finish his contract this year or trade him now and get compensation in return? Maybe buy a year of AD. Can we prove to you, AD, that the Pelicans are headed in the right direction? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call me at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. LSU-Auburn Game 2 preview next with Ronnie Rance, former LSU pitcher here on WWL. The LSU baseball Tigers trying to improve their resume as they take on Auburn tonight in Game 2 of the series. They won last night in the opening game of the series, 7-1. Trying to get off that bubble for being a host team in the regional. Ronnie Rance, former LSU pitcher, joining us now, also CEO of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, at @sports_shorts. Ronnie, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Christian. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So last night, okay, maybe I'm being a little too optimistic. Tell me if I am, Ronnie, but maybe, just maybe, LSU's starting to get their act together a little bit over the last handful of games?
Well, that's definitely what it looked like. It looked like that yesterday against good competition in Auburn. and against a left-handed pitcher, where LSU had a losing record against lefties this year. But they got a complete game, right? You got a great starting performance by Walker, who went six and only gave up the one run. And then you Peterson came out of the bullpen and looked like his old self for a couple of innings. So you got what you wanted there. And then offensively, you had three home runs. You had a big inning early on to kind of bust the game open, and you had hitting throughout the lineup. So it was a complete performance. It was only one game, and that's why in baseball you play a bunch of them. But that combined with, you know, the offensive performance you had against UNO on Tuesday, we hit some homers as well. You're feeling a lot better about your team than you did 7 days ago.
Ronnie, I said yesterday with them sitting at 15 wins in the SEC, they got 16 now. If they can somehow, between the SEC tournament and the final two games against Auburn, get that win total around 19 or 20, I think they're a regional host site. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I also think that if they just sweep Auburn at 18 wins, they're a lock to host. Mm-hmm. Kendall Rogers, you know, of course, of D1 baseball and does a great job nationally. He about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, even thought 17 wins gets LSU a host. I think it's 18, 17. You got to be a little nervous, but there's starting to be some separation and distance between LSU and Ole Miss and the SEC. Five teams getting in to host a regional out of the SEC is a lot more realistic than six teams hosting. Even though six would deserve it, the NCAA just doesn't like to have that bias where one conference dominates the host sites. So five going has been a precedent they've set for most years. That LSU's clearly in at the five line right now. Plus, when you look around the country, there's not really a 17th team but breathing down your neck. So I think LSU takes care of business, wins one more, they probably have a 75% chance of hosting. If they win two more this weekend, I think they're a lock.
Ronnie, bear with me again on this one. So we're playing a game of what-ifs. That's what we can do, right? So say they sweep Auburn, right? And I know this is asking for a lot. You sweep Auburn, and then you go on and make a run through the NFC Championship game in the SEC baseball tournament and perhaps win that. Does that put them back in a top eight national seed conversation?
It does not. No, they're too far back. There's too many good teams ahead of them that are squarely top eight national seed. And so I think if they go on the Mineri magic carpet ride like we've seen many, many times this time of year where they get red hot at Hoover, in that scenario, you will have won probably about nine in a row. That would be great, but I don't think they get all the way to eight. I think they would be on the outside looking in. I think clearly the SEC's got three, possibly four teams in the top eight. That'd be Vanderbilt, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Those are the four teams that are in the conversation for top eight national seeds. I don't think anybody else can get in there.
Ronnie, the reason why it's not entirely out of the realm of possibilities, and I'm talking about LSU making a run because they've done it before, but also teams like Vanderbilt, right, the Arkansas, what motivation do they have to really win that tournament? I mean, some could argue that it'd be better if they're out of there quickly so they can get rest and make sure they're ready for regional and super regional. So those kind of things happen in an SEC tournament environment. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's precedent where, like, say in 2010, LSU won the SEC tournament, won the SEC championship in the tournament, didn't even host. So I think sometimes we put a little too much emphasis on the SEC tournament. It's a great story, and obviously it's a tremendous trophy because it's just as hard to win that as it is to win a tournament in Omaha. But every team puts priorities differently on that tournament. Some put more priority on it than others, and there has been precedent where LSU has won that tournament and still didn't even host a regional.
Ronnie Rance, former LSU pitcher, CEO of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, @sports_shorts. And Ronnie, Saul Garza's starting to heat up a little bit at the plate. What would his bat mean to this lineup? And right now he's hitting nine. If you're Paul Mineri, would you consider moving him up to 7-6, perhaps?
Oh, I think tonight you will. I'd be surprised. You know, Paul Mineri's a guy that goes with the hot hand, so I would expect he's not going to hit ninth. He'll probably hit seventh. Saul Garza, Paul Mineri said about him in August prior to his injury where he had a meniscus surgery in the fall that he thought he was the key to the recruiting class last year, which was the number one recruiting class in the country. Had 23 homers last year. He knew he could be a really outstanding catcher. They needed that leadership and that role. And I think now that he's back healthy after the knee thing and he's just finally coming to his own and has confidence and knows he's not coming out of the lineup, that averages in the 230s, but it's really been over 300 the last 3 weeks. And they need him because he's got five home runs. He gives them a big right-handed bat in the lineup, which they desperately need.
Ronnie, you know this game, you know that program, and I'm curious to know. I'm pretty sure you're plugged in around the travel circuit as well. And I'm talking about the injuries that not just at LSU but across the country. Emerson Hancock at Georgia. I mean, we're seeing a number of these stud pitchers arrive on campus either year one or year two. They go through some sort of arm injury or arm problems. Is there enough awareness about arm care and also putting the baseball down for a couple of months as a youth or as a high school player?
I think that's the key. I mean, if you're a parent out there and you got a kid that plays that's talented, you know, one, I don't like him to pitch. I mean, I pitched at 9 years of age. That's when I started pitching. It wouldn't bother me if my dad had said, "Hey, you're not going to pitch till you're 12." I mean, the longer you can wait to throw a kid, the better. You should never throw a curveball probably till you're about 14. And there are rules in place now in all the leagues that manage pitch count. But I think the diversity of kids being athletes, play basketball, play football, play soccer, do other sports too, take some time off away from baseball, I think that'll bode well in the long run. But the other thing too is nowadays with MRIs and we are more oversensitive about arm injuries. So I think we shut guys down a lot quicker than they did 15, 20 years ago where it was just pop three Advil and go out there and pitch. So I think that's also why you see, you know, the injured list being so long.
Ronnie, how many times did you pitch where you felt like, man, my shoulder or my elbow, it's just not right, but I'm going to go out there and gut through it?
Half the time.
Really?
I mean, like, honestly, I mean, you know, Doug Thompson, of course, LSU Tiger, great pitcher. We have that conversation all the time. I mean, rarely, I would say literally half the time when you ever pitched in a ball game, college game, professional baseball, maybe even at times in high school. Rarely does it feel great. It always feels like there's a little something going on. And, you know, maybe that wasn't so smart on our part back in the day. That doesn't make, you know, us smarter than what's going on nowadays. I just think we didn't realize that, hey, maybe we should shut it down. I think everybody who pitched in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, rarely felt good, but you just didn't tell anybody. You just went out there and pitched anyway.
Yeah, I can relate a little bit. In high school, you know, I only played in high school, but whenever my arm hurt, I was just like, it's what it is. You just go out there and you throw, you know. And there wasn't as much sophisticated technology either. Ronnie, I want to ask you this as well. I ask all the guys when I get them on, Doug Thompson, whomever, guys that have played that have a tremendous experience at the major college level. When you see these fans, and look, this has been a bit of a disappointing season for LSU, right? The standards are very high. But when you see fans on Twitter and even on Facebook, what have you, voicing their displeasure that LSU should move on from Paul Maneri, What? How do you react from that? How do you react when you hear that or see that?
Well, that's crazy because, yes, you can be frustrated as a fan. Obviously, this year when you're preseason number one or number two, there's nowhere to go but down, right? You either live up to that, you beat everybody, or people are disappointed. But the idea that Paul Maneri should be replaced is crazy. I mean, what are you supposed to do as a coach? He's probably, if not the second winningest coach in the regular season over the last decade. He's won a national title, numerous SEC championships. His kids graduate. There's no scandal in the program. I mean, what more do you want? And, oh, by the way, there's not an obvious choice of who to go get, right? There's not another Skip Bertman that's just sitting there waiting for a call. So be careful what you wish for. You know, you make that change, it may be harder to find the next guy. And, oh, by the way, the University of Texas, which I deem as a top three job in America, own network, the facilities and everything else in the history, David Pierce is over there doing a great job, the former Tulane coach. He was their eighth choice. They had to go all the way down to their eighth selection. So
they wanted Maneri.
Yeah, they wanted Maneri. So he was one of the options. So the point is that there's just not another guy out there clearly better waiting in the wings. Paul Maneri doesn't deserve to go anywhere.
Ronnie, I want to ask you one more before I let you run. You're looking at all these baseball stadiums being built across the country and teams are universities are dumping millions into these baseball complexes that I don't think was the case 15 years ago. I mean, the box was that golden standard. LSU did stuff like that, but everybody's starting to do that now, and they're also starting to erect these, you know, baseball laboratories where they got cages and pitching mounds and indoor this, indoor that. Do you think LSU's facilities are right on par with everybody else's?
At the moment, yes. And listen, the bigger issue is not the facilities. LSU's facilities as nice as anybody. They just spent $3 million adding on to their cage in right field and all the great weight room and all that stuff. And they'll always tinker and upgrade. They've got the biggest, nicest, newest scoreboard in America and all that stuff. Their facilities are fine. Here's the problem. 11.7 scholarships. You have 11.7 scholarships and you can have 35 guys on the team. That is what makes everybody equal, mm-hmm. because you just can't load up on talent. A kid's going to go to Mississippi State because he gets 3/4 of a scholarship versus LSU where he gets 1/4 or vice versa. And that's what keeps the landscape balanced.
Good stuff as always. Ronnie Rance, former LSU pitcher, CEO of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, @sports_shorts on Twitter. Ronnie, thanks, man.
Christian, thank you, buddy.
You bet. Patrick in Uptown also coming back for Jeff and Harvey. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Boy, the Jets are a mess, as we're learning. I'll get into that in a little bit. But first, Patrick Uptown. What's going on, Patrick? You're on WWL.
How you doing, Christian? Man, I just was calling. I wanted to weigh in on the Anthony Davis trade situation.
Go right ahead.
All right, so this is what I wanted to understand. Anthony Davis is under contract for another year. I feel like us keeping Anthony Davis and letting him wean or understudy Zion is way better than us trading Anthony Davis for any package that we can get from Boston, from Celtics, from the Knicks, or the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? Because we try to be contenders. If we trade Anthony Davis to any of those teams, then we won't be contenders with Zion.
Yeah, now, there's a way for you to do that because you get R.J. Barrett, his teammate from Duke, if you trade him, because you'll send him to the Knicks, and the Knicks got to have the 3rd overall pick, and you can get R.J. Barrett. You would jumpstart your rebuild process pretty quickly. I hear you, though, Patrick. A.D. and Zion's very attractive together. But then again, if he plays out the final year of his contract and doesn't want to stay with the Pelicans long term, you get nothing for another generational player. You get nothing in return. Thanks for the phone call, Patrick. Coming back for Jeff and Harvey and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. Jeff and Harvey, sit tight. You'll lead off next hour. I can't help but laugh at the Jets. Now, apparently, Adam Gase, the head coach, is the acting general manager because they fired their general manager. And Adam Gase already pulled off a trade within hours of being the acting GM. He now wants to trade Le'Veon Bell, who they signed to a 4-year, $50-plus million contract this offseason. Apparently, he didn't want Le'Veon Bell. That was the rift between he and the former general manager. Whew. Yeah, the Giants are trying to tell the Jets, no, we're the worst team. And the Jets are saying, no, we're the worst team in New York. What a mess. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. If you're the Pelicans, would you force Anthony Davis to finish his contract this year or trade him now to get compensation in return? 61% are saying trade him now. 39% are saying finish your contract. Maybe you could persuade him over the course of the year to ultimately stay in New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.